Hi, this is Karen Thomas, and I'm here to discuss things that will help, tips that will help parents with back to school for children on the autism spectrum, or for those who even are not on the autism spectrum. But for those of us who have children who have no filter or greater sensitivities, anxieties, depressions, lack of focus, difficulty with attention, school is a much more difficult task for these kids than it is for many other children. And so I'd like to offer some tips that I think will be helpful for your children and you as you go back to school. There is a book that I actually purchased. It's a small book. I purchased one for each of my child's teachers and gave it to them. It's called 10 Things the Student with Autism Wishes You Knew, and it's by Ellen Notbohm. It's Notbohm. And I gave that to all of my son's teachers back when there were more difficulties. And the teachers all said how helpful the book was. There's a lot of simple information as well as more in depth, but some of the simple pieces are, you know, having your child sit closer to the teacher in the classroom so that there are less distractions between him and the teacher. And also having the teacher write things on the class board, on the blackboard, instead of just only speaking to them, because our kids are very visual. So anything visual is much more helpful. The book has a lot of helpful pieces in it. We had something that was a strategic thing to do as well. You can fill up a box with maybe some books, enough that it's enough weight for your child to appropriately have to carry with some, you know, it's heavy for them to carry, but of course not too heavy. And they can, whenever the teacher notices the child getting, you know, behavioral or irritable in their seat, agitated, not focusing, they ask that child to pick that box up and carry it down the hall to another classroom and drop it off for them and then come right back. The act of getting up, carrying something heavy, and walking, by using those muscles, it actually calms down the central nervous system. So that can be something that can kind of just be stationed in the classroom. And whenever the teacher happens to notice something going on with your child, they can ask them to do that. Always make sure that your children gets recess when it's time. There are a few children in the past, I remember when my kids were growing up, I watched other children often lose their recess because of, you know, some punishment for having a behavior issue in the class. But it's actually the absolute worst thing that they can do, because these children are starting to get behavioral and act out because they're sitting for too long. They need to exercise. They need to run around. So be sure that doesn't ever happen to your child. It's one of the worst things that they can do. Pull-up bars are great for them. Again, using those muscles calms the central nervous system. Running is very calming. And you also want to watch food. You want to beware of hypoglycemia. That's a blood sugar imbalance. If your child's it's been too long between meals, their blood sugar can start to crash, and that will definitely cause behavioral issues. Either irritability, or another thing is a real lack of focus. All of a sudden, they just can't think. They won't listen, but it's because they're in need of basically some protein. Any type of a protein snack, such as almonds, can help balance the blood sugar and help his brain think better. One important side note that I think is a really valuable one that most people aren't aware of is that protein helps us think better and carbohydrates reduce our ability to think, but they actually make us a bit more compliant. So an apple with almond butter can be a good choice if a little bit more compliance is needed, but never ever leave out the protein source with it, because if you do, attention and focus issues will quickly become worse. So food, again, is another big issue. You want to make sure you're not offering any toxic food to your children. Fruit roll-ups, things like that, they are high fructose corn syrup with food dyes. They're not healthy foods. They are not fruit, even if it says contains real fruit. It also contains a lot of junk food that they don't need and a lot of sugar. food colorings themselves, FD&C dyes, are absolutely not safe. They are allowed to have a certain percentage of lead, mercury, arsenic, and benzidine because they were too hard to remove. So they said it was acceptable to contain some. The FDA themselves have told us that lead damages the brain, yet they allow this. These dyes are known to cause asthma, hyperactivity, moodiness, irritability, depression, and a lot more. And they're used in everything from cosmetics to cereals and soda, but they do come with a price. I'm going to put a list of the FD&C dyes and their related health issues on my website sometime in the next week or two. And my website is www.naturallyhealingautism.com if you want to look into that for a little bit more specifics on food dyes. Shampoos, lotions, and soaps are also something that contain a lot of harmful chemicals, gluten, perfume, and again, food dyes. Phthalates, sodium lauryl sulfate, and propylene glycol are the most common toxins in health and beauty products, so be sure to read your labels. You're much safer to just go to a health food store, a quality health food store, and purchase those products, or go online to an online source that you trust. But definitely do not purchase them mainstream grocery store without reading your labels and making sure that those things aren't in there, because it's very highly likely that they are. And our kids' brains are already under a toxic overload, so it increases, it's absorbed through the skin in 20 seconds, and it increases their food allergies. They have pathogenic bacteria in their gut, so they have a weak immune system. It directly affects their brain and their ability to think. When you're at the grocery store, some people don't even know how do I navigate the grocery store? Well, if I suggest, honestly, purchasing your food from a quality health food store and still reading your labels, and then also farmers markets. I am a big promoter of farmers markets, local ones. You can start to get to know your vendors, your farmers, know who you trust, make sure that they don't spray any harmful chemicals. Many will be labeled as organic already, but if some are will not spray but aren't specifically organic, talk to them week after week, get to know them, make sure you can believe them. But with a regular grocery store, you want to stay on the outside edges. That's where the freshest foods are. You want to avoid the internal aisles. That's where most of the junk food is. Some mainstream grocery stores now are carrying organic foods. You want to purchase foods with few ingredients in them. If it has a really long list of ingredients, just don't buy it. There's no need for that. Don't buy anything with food dyes, high fructose corn syrup, high sugar contents. Monosodium glutamate will cause irritability and anger and is a brain toxin, as is aspartame and aspartate. Those diet sodas are not better for you. They're actually even worse than if you were to drink a soda with normal sugar content in it, because aspartame and aspartate are neurotoxins. So beware of those kinds of things. Deli meats, the same thing. They're filled with nitrates. They often have monosodium glutamate. Even the butcher in a grocery store, those meats often are contaminated with those toxins. So you want to know, where the meats come from. Don't eat processed meats. Ask the butcher. Hopefully you can trust them. You're better off if you will get fresh organic meats, bake them yourself, or find deli meats that from a trusted butcher shop. And then the deli meats can be put into, or the lunch meat can be put into your child's lunchbox with, of course, a cold pack. Make sure things are well refrigerated when you put that type of thing in there. But you do have choices. Instead of fruit chews, like into your child's lunchbox, what can you put in there? A lot of people are a little stuck with what to do. So any fresh meat from the night before, if you want to do that. My daughter absolutely loves having a salad in her lunch. I know not all kids do, but she does. Cucumbers with hummus, celery with almond butter. Almond butter is great with apples too. Nuts are a good protein choice, except for peanuts. They're not nuts, they're legumes, and they carry a lot of molds and toxins. You're better off not to have peanuts. Cheese from goats and sheep does not contain casein, which is a protein in cow's milk, which is also another thing that I'll get into here in a minute. Casein is the protein in cow's milk, and it will cause a lot of toxic reactions in the brain, just like gluten will. Gluten and casein are two proteins. Gluten is the protein in wheat, which you may have heard of. And those two proteins are very hard for our kids to break down with their weakened guts. And when that happens, there are some, they're called peptides, but some undigested proteins will then turn into an opiate-like substance in the body. And opiates, as you know, are a drug. So basically, you'll notice your kid will crave gluten, like sometimes just almost like a drug addict, like they want a piece of bread, they want something with gluten in it. It's because their body's starting to withdraw from whenever it was the last time they had it. Well, these opiates cause that spacey look that you get, that glazed over eye look that they'll have sometimes, or when they can't think or focus or you can't keep their attention. A lot of that can come from gluten and casein. And casein, again, which is the protein in dairy, in cow's milk, is 13 times worse than it is in gluten. So don't be fooled thinking that it's any better. It's actually much worse. Those two foods should just generally be avoided. Sheep's milk and goat's milk don't carry the casein, so they can be a as long as it's tolerated by your child, they can be a good snack as well. Hard-boiled eggs. In the winter, I like soup, something you've made homemade the night before. It can be warmed up in the morning and put into a thermos. So those are good choices for our kids as well. Real quick on gluten and dairy, I wanted to offer this this lab that does an in-home test for things like gluten, dairy, soy. Soy is another allergen, and soy should definitely stay away from soy. When it's in liquid form, it's even worse. Ends up being a type of a neurotoxin again. But there's a lab called Entero Lab. It's Entero Lab.com. And they offer an in-home testing. You can purchase it online. They'll send it to your doorstep. And then you can do a stool sample at home. Mail it off from your doorstep. They email you with the results, and they have people there available to help you with the results. But it's a good way to see if there are any food allergies, such as those, that you might not be aware of. And what it'll tell you that on the scale, how allergic your child or you are to that product. So that can be really helpful. There is another test for adrenal fatigue, and this is another one I really like. The company is Diagnostechs. It's DiagnosTechs. And Diagnostechs.com, you can order, or your practitioner can order the test for you. But adrenal fatigue, the adrenal glands are glands in our body that basically help us deal with stress. And when we're stressed, they release a large amount of a hormone called cortisol. It's our stress hormone, so to say. And when too much cortisol is released, the adrenals will start to get fatigued, overworked, and then they can't keep up. And so that's when you get really tired. You wake up tired in the morning, you're tired in the afternoon. After dinner, you might notice if you have adrenal fatigue, sometimes after you eat dinner in the evening, you feel a little bit more energy. It's strange how it fluctuates, and that is why it's very important not to go to your doctor and get a blood test. Blood tests are inaccurate for multiple reasons with adrenals, but one of them is that it just takes a test for one time of a day. This saliva test from Diagnostechs you'll take a saliva sample, you just spit into a little vial 4 times a day, because again, those cortisol levels will fluctuate. You don't just want one time increment. You want these 4 very specifically timed increments that they'll tell you when you get the test. You can do it at home. You can do it at work. Take it with you. And then you, again, mail it off. And when it comes back, it will give you your results of where your adrenal glands are, how fatigued they may or may not be. And another side benefit to that test is that it's far less expensive than a blood test, but it also gives you, they put in a gliadin test, but basically is testing your gluten intolerance in the test through the saliva, just the same things you do for the adrenals. They're able to test for the saliva. And what happens is that from that gluten test, you're able to find out what your gluten intolerance levels are, which is very helpful. They added this into the test years ago because they found that so many people were having gluten sensitivities that didn't know it, and that gluten in the body and your body reacting to food allergies in that way causes the adrenal glands a lot of stress. And so then you end up with adrenal fatigue, which then can also lead to thyroid fatigue or hypothyroid, because the adrenal glands directly affect the thyroid. So it's all this sort of vicious circle, but it's nice that Diagnostics has added this in as part of that testing so that you can get those results. So it's kind of a two-for-one test. And again, any of your doctors can order this test for you if they don't already carry it in their office, which many natural practitioners will already do. In the meantime, there is an enzyme supplement that can be helpful too. It carries something called DPP4, which is the only enzyme known to break down these opiate substances in dairy and wheat. And there's a really good one called Trienza, T-R-I-E-N-Z-A, and it's made by Houston Enzymes. And taking this enzyme formula with your meal will help to break down some of just generally even carbohydrates and fats that we may be having a problem with as well, but really help with the gluten and dairy sensitivities if you happen to be eating some of those. There is also HLC MindLynx, it's LINX, by Pharmax. The company is PHARMAX. And this is a probiotic / enzyme formula with gluten and casein, helps with gluten and casein intolerance. And it contains specific strains of lactobacillus, or types of probiotics, that have been proven in scientific trials to degrade the wheat and dairy exomorphins. Now, exomorphins are the opiates that I talked about. HLC MindLynx was one of the products that I say helped my son absolutely the most. I noticed differences very quickly in his physical health, his stomach aches, his headaches, and also in his behavior. He was calmer. It was just a really big change because it was breaking down these exomorphins, and it was also starting to heal his system. The products inside MindLynx, and there is also something that it helps to attach to and colonize intestinal epithelial cells. So it actually starts to help heal your gut lining. And so anyway, I highly recommend it. Pharmax has an impeccable reputation. So that can be really helpful as well. Just remember, just because it's gluten-free, it doesn't mean it's good for you. There's a lot of processed carbohydrates in many gluten-free breads, cakes, and crackers, but it essentially is a processed carbohydrate. It turns to sugar in the body. It creates more problems with physical and emotional behavior. You really want to make sure you have better choices going into your child's lunchbox and what you're feeding them for breakfast, what you're feeding them for dinner, because it's going to make all the difference when he's sitting in the classroom. So anyway, I'm wishing you the best with back to school. Please look for my book. It will be released August 27th. It's called Naturally Healing Autism, the complete step-by-step resource handbook for parents. And it's taken me 6 years to write it. It's how I healed my own son from many of the symptoms of autism, and I wanted to share it with you. So I'm very excited for that to be released very soon. You can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/naturallyhealingautism. And please go to my website, naturallyhealingautism.com, for tons of free information that are available to you now. I have a regular blog. If you sign up for my newsletter, you'll get more information that way as well, and be alerted again when the actual book release date, so you don't forget. So make sure that you're taking care of those kids and that you're taking care of you too, because I know how stressful it can be to be the mom. So anyway, until next time, we'll see you then.